Welcome back, Lister sisters, Lister misters, and Lister listeners. It's another episode of Top Hat Topics. I'm your co-host, Jen Snyder, and with me as always,
Kristen Hughes. And of course, we want to start out every episode by reminding everyone to write into us at our email address, tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com. We want to hear all of your feedback, answer any questions, ask any questions, and as always, nominate a gentleman Jack in your own life. We have really been enjoying all the nominations that we've been getting. It's just been phenomenal.
It's so fun to read. You're right.
And speaking of our emails, we talked a lot about the Madeira on last week's episode, and we had a wonderful listener, Aaron, who has been in the wine industry for almost two decades and gave us a little Madeira history lesson. So I just wanted to read a little bit of it just to tell everybody a little bit more about Madeira.
Yeah.
Madeira is completely unique in the wine world. It comes from the island of Madeira, which is off the coast of Portugal. It is made like port wine in that it is fortified with spirits. It can be both dry or sweet, though the sweet versions are more well known. Madeira is a wine that only exists because of the thirsts and tastes of both the British and the then American colonies. It gained in popularity before the American Revolution. Back then, the wines were shipped across the ocean in large barrels. What the British and the colonists discovered is that the wines were better after being shipped than they were beforehand. For most wines, heat and oxidation are what kill them, which is why wine is stored in a cellar, of course. But for Madeira, the wines actually benefit from heat and oxidation. The long ocean voyages essentially cooked the wines and created their unique flavor profile. Way back then, keeping wines fresh was extremely difficult. It wasn't as easy to bottle a wine and cork it, and of course, there was no refrigeration, so this was really the best wine they could get because storage wasn't a concern.
Dude, how cool is that somebody took time out of their day to give us that cool lesson on Madeira because we were talking about it that last episode?
It was just the best.
It makes me so happy. We love stuff like that, you guys. So if you hear us talking about something and you're like, oh my God, they sound like idiots, send us an email. We love it. We want to know what we're talking about. And we want to, you know,
we love learning. Knowledge is everything.
Yeah. One of our other listeners, Amanda, she showed us a picture of crumpets this week.
She showed us that not all cakes that British people eat are called crumpets.
Yeah, they look like English muffins. Yeah. They didn't even look like cakes.
I know. I was really surprised. So thank you, Amanda, for doing that.
Yeah, we love stuff like that. So if you're knowledgeable about something, please send us an email. That was really kind, Erin. She took all that time out of her day to write us that cool. And I was fascinated by that. I had no idea.
I really was too. And there's actually so much more to her email. Like, I just wanted to highlight it. I mean, she really gave us the best and most interesting history lesson. And she even recommended a Madeira for us. What she recommended was Broadbent Rainwater Madeira. My local Total Wine did not have Broadbent, so I got the Blandy's Rainwater Madeira. And we have just appreciated hearing from everybody and knowing that you guys are listening and getting the Gentleman Jack nominations and people just answering our questions and just giving us feedback that we wanted to do a little cheers of this Madeira to you guys, to the listeners.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. We were a little befuddled by the bottle at first. It is not a standard cork and screw. It's a kind of a rum bottle top.
I really hope everybody heard that.
I know. I hope so too. It was for y'all.
I totally imagine that's what Jack Sparrow was drinking. that's what I'm thinking now. Anyway, so this is the first time that either one of us have ever had Madeira.
And it's our cheers to you guys. Thank you for listening. We love you all so much. Thanks for writing in. Just thanks for being awesome and being a part of this great community. So cheers to you guys.
Cheers to you guys. Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, that's got some flavor.
That's a lot of flavor there.
That's now living in my chest pretty hard.
Yeah, I feel like my entire throat is tasting that.
These Portuguese are strong people, my friend.
I mean, it's definitely understandable how they drank it in those tiny little medicine cups and could politely sit with it for 3 hours.
Do you think you could get drunk on this?
Yes.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be hardest drunk of my life. Like, I don't even know what the drunk of this would be like. I guess we'll see how this episode goes.
We might find out.
We may need it.
Ba-ba-ba-bum. Yeah, I mean, this episode, I mean, you guys know what's coming, so we...
But those of you who don't, we're sorry. Here we go. So this episode is, let's have another look at your past perfect. I don't even know what that means. Sounds like something one of my ex-girlfriends would say to me.
Yeah.
HBO static.
Sounds like some gaslighting to me.
Oh, here we have bright music because it's daytime. We're in the daytime. We're looking at the fancy ass Ann Walker home and she's just staring at her sleep.
Looking like an angel.
Like your little morning cinnamon bun.
Little morning cinnamon roll. Yep. Fresh out of the oven.
It's 22 past 10, girl. You done slept in all day back then, I'm sure. You done wasted the whole day.
Especially to Ann Lister. Mm-hmm. Her busy ass.
She done walked back to the city and back. Done brought you back a couple chickens. She done a lot of things before you got up, girl.
Dug a ditch. Yeah.
Oh, man. She is so beautiful. Even in the morning with that, what do you call it? I woke up like this.
I woke up like this hair.
Yeah. She's a honey and a half.
She really is. I mean, even with that look of distress upon her face.
Would it bother you that someone was watching you sleep, or would you just be like, hey, baby?
I mean, it depends.
Yeah, she did look concerned.
It depends, you know, and she was really calm about it, you know, like she eased her into it.
Yeah. And she's telling her she's had some pain, and I'm sure, you know, Anne's like, okay, it's cool. I'm a doctor. I'll.
It's anxiety, dear.
She says it's exhaustion. She must. It got the better of me. How long have you been here staring at me while I'm sleeping? Not long.
Casual. Mm-hmm. Oh, and so she's over here talking about Miss Parkhill and the fact that she even had the nerve to have a skirmish with Ann Lister about who was going to come up. Says everything I need to know about her now.
Mm-hmm. She won. We know. And she gets a kiss for her reward. Mm.
You better grab a hold of the back of her neck, though.
Yo,
I mean,
our friend Vernice, who sent in our gentleman Vernice, as I like to call her, sent in our Gentleman Jack nomination. She was talking about it on the page today that there was an intimacy coordinator. Bitch, get that job? How you get that job? Do I have to go back to school? What kind of training do I need? I want to be the intimacy coordinator.
Probably some sort of like sex therapy and like lots of psychology.
Girl, I know intimacy. I've had years of on-hand training. I know intimacy when I see the intimacy.
Hire somebody experienced. Mm. I mean, obviously the intimacy expert was fantastic, though. I know that Saran Jones and Sophie Rundle have both spoken volumes about her.
Man, what a cool job in my next life, perhaps. So she's like, girl, why don't you get up and get dressed? We don't care about that dude. I'm going to make you feel better.
She's got a beautiful interview with a vampire nightgown on. Mm. Again, with the bedclothes. Like, all y'all do is hurt us.
It's wonderful. This shot is great. Whoever did this shot with her in the mirror.
Looking at her.
And while she's washing up.
You better show us those shoulders, girl.
Also, why are you taking a bath, girl? Can I borrow some money? I need just a little bit of money till I get my check next week. Just me hold like $20.
And this is probably the most beautiful that she is in the entirety of the show. When she turns around and she smiles and she says, yeah, of course you can.
How much? Mama got it.
Like, I swear, y'all.
Now here's our intro.
Get you a sugar mama.
Yeah. Where is my beautiful woman to loan me some money? I'm talking about it. Look. So this is so cool, man. Oh, speaking of the intro, while we're talking, I got my pocket watch today, and Kristen got her shirt from the band.
From my Julian Tito shirt, my Jack the Last shirt. I posted everywhere about it, so most of you probably saw it.
Look, real quick, I'm stopping the cast real quick. I mean, I'm stopping the intro real quick to say this. I'm speaking it into existence right now, y'all. We need to hit up the Olivia Cruises and do a Gentleman Jack cruise.
A Gentleman Jack cruise.
Sally, Seren, everybody comes. The band comes and plays. I can do stand-up. We can do several of the cast on the boat.
It's like KMO, but Gentleman Jack.
I mean, why not? Olivia does all kinds of crazy cruises.
I know that there is somebody listening to this who knows somebody, at least, who even might know somebody else that can get us in touch with the right people to make that happen. We want to make it happen.
Let's go on an Olivia Gentleman Jack cruise, you guys. Just talk about it. Let's, I don't know. Anyways, back to the show, back
to the
intro.
I've never been on a cruise, but that is one I would probably sell at least one organ for.
Oh, my God. It would be so fun. We could do a live cast with that Sally.
Y'all let us know what you think about that.
Yeah. Sorry, this Madeira might have got me a little bit. All right. All right, now here we are for the first time meeting this charlatan.
I'm so glad you said that word.
He is a charlatan.
He is.
He's a penny. I don't know how much money he has, but I feel like he's a penniless charlatan, which is like the worst insult in the world back in that
day. The only money he had was everybody thinking he was a good person just because he was a reverend.
Mm-hmm. And he's wearing a pinky ring. Don't you never trust a reverend with a pinky ring. I don't care if you're listening right now, reverend with a pinky ring. Take it off because I don't trust you none. You ain't to be trusted. You ain't to be trusted.
You know what? I actually fully support that statement. You just made me think about it really hard. Nailed it.
Thanks, bud. Thanks. And of course, there. You know, the first person he goes sees is old Nosy Bonnet.
Nosy Bonnet.
An old Bushy Britches over there. That's what we're going to call him, Bushy Britches.
Bushy Britches.
He's Bushy Britches and Nosy Bonnets, and they are just having some, they're having some what? They're having some tea, girl, you know.
Having some tea. Mm-hmm.
And not crumpets, but some kind of little cakeys. I would enjoy some little cakeys and tea. We need to do that for one of the episodes, have tea and little cakeys.
Oh, yeah, and some figs.
Yeah, figs.
As Amanda also said, the same one that sent us in pictures of crumpets.
She's the best. So, I'm sure she'd be pleased to see you. No, she won't. Who is this character? Who is this guy, this actor? Because he looks familiar to me. I feel like I've seen him on something else. Have you?
I think I have seen him on something else, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Okay, I want to address right now who allowed this girl to walk around with two parts in her hair like that.
That was the fashion girl.
No, not that.
Well, yeah, she does.
It's just not for her.
Dramatic music. There's some crumpets. Amanda, I see crumpets on the table. I swear those are crumpets.
Yeah,
girl.
Those
up
definitely
crumpets,
are because
yo.
They look like English muffins. Uh-huh. So maybe that's why we call them English muffins.
Yo, I done thought that, but then I won't say it out loud because it sounds
well,
like
I
country.
Said it.
Is that why we've been done calling them English muffins? Y'all, we trying. We just some Southern girls trying to learn some English tea etiquette.
We're trying to be of the world.
Yeah, we are. So then they just, you know, always bowls of fruits and little croissants and whatnot and wine. These people, no wonder they always fighting. They drunk. They having Madeira every damn moment of the day.
And this guy is so shocked and so disappointed that he has been slighted by a woman.
A woman said no.
She told him, not today, sir.
It can be postponed. No, I'm determined. And he's crying like a little bitch. I mean, not
which
it's
is
okay.
Obviously fake.
Yeah, it's okay for men to cry. I'm not saying that, but.
But he is a little bitch.
Yeah, he's a little bitch. So,
it's not okay for him to cry.
Because you ain't crying about your wife. You're crying about not getting to hook up with the old Miss Ann Walker because you in town. Use a little bit.
I don't even think that he is crying at all. I think that he's a master manipulator.
He's like a men's soccer player.
And that he...
Ooh. Too far? So we're going to get a letter.
Cease and desist.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I say things. I'll be thinking about them real good.
I mean, where's the line?
Where?
I'll wait.
Okay. Because I can't. Anyway,
this guy is a master manipulator. I think that he is trying to appear to be an emotional, grieving widower to these members of Ann Walker's family.
Yeah, to ingratiate himself to them.
Exactly.
He's a charlatan. He's a shyster.
He is.
He ain't no good, as my grandma would say.
Yeah.
He ain't no damn good. Nope. And old, of course, old Nosy Bonnets loves it. Look at him. He's all like, oh, you help me. You go talk to her for me.
Ugh. She's like dangling meat in front of a starving man.
And of course, now they're playing some, are they playing backgammon? Or
yeah, I think so. And I love it. But too soon.
Too soon. Yeah, we get there.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah. They haven't
seen. Some of y'all already know what I'm up to say, though.
This is what ladies of leisure did. They played games, they had tea, and they painted. And I guess they crocheted doilies for their auntie to wear because, you know, that's a full-time job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whoever crochets all that lace has, I mean, that's their full-time job. So I think that this Miss Park Hills dress, the colors to me are, like Marianne's dresses, worthy of an official print name. I'm going to call it Easter by the Beach.
Easter by the Beach. And then this audacious bastard shows up with a present, even though she told him she was feeling good. Yeah. Oh, and there's Anne. Is that him? Is that him? Baby, is that him? I'm about to go to the door. Is that him? James, is that him? Is that motherfucker? I'm about to go. Oh, baby, hold me back. Hold me back.
Hold my cane.
And here's James. We don't give a damn that Reverend Ainsworth's at the door.
Her resolve is so serious. Like, she is completely unmoved by
She looks this. Terrified. She looks...
You know why? Because he is a rapist.
I know. And that's that fear that women... She portrays it well. And look at this bastard. He's just a bastard. Ooh,
he's trying to step in.
Mm-hmm. And Anne's already thinking the wheels are turning. Thank you, James. You finally done your damn job. You may eat some chicken tonight, James, for you finally manning up and doing what I told you to do, James.
You made up for it.
Mm-hmm. This Madeira got me hot, James. You lucky you're not out on your ass, on your footman ass, James.
No chickens for you this week.
Oh, so sick of him.
Until now.
Yeah, he did good. He did good. A biographical account of himself.
Ugh. That tells you everything you need to know. A narcissist.
Would every woman have the confidence of a mediocre man? The things that we could get done. We get lots of letters today.
Probably so. They're going to be like, damn.
That's Jen Snyder. I'm not talking about all men. If you're not a mediocre male, I'm certainly not talking about you. So
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, you know who you are.
Yeah. A snake is a snake. And if you ain't a snake, then push on. I ain't talking about you.
However, if you think that it's about you, it probably is.
You probably think the song is about you. Oh, and here she is. She's like calming her down and giving her a little back rub. Whew. I mean, if we go talk about Saran Jones' hands, we need to talk about Sophie's collarbones.
And her shoulders. She is also another example of a woman. She's just put together perfectly.
She's so beautiful. You think it'll become a necessity?
She just looks like she's rubbing her shoulders so tenderly, but yet still with force.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to get in there and get those knots. You don't want to hurt
her. Maybe I just think too deeply about what Saran Jones' hands are doing.
You think you're the only one sitting around thinking around deeply about what Saran Jones' hands could do? I think you'd be sadly mistaken, madam.
Touche.
And that off the shoulder... Holy cow. I love a shirt like that. You know what I'm talking about when girls wear that? Your shoulder is more erotic than boobies will ever be to me. Like, you show me a shoulder and I'm having lascivious thoughts.
I completely agree.
Boobies almost make me uncomfortable. I'm always like, oh my God. But you know, like a shoulder, I'm just like,
oh. Go away, girl.
Mm-hmm. I would take you out to a very good dinner. I would respect you. Oh, she's so beautiful. This moment's really perfect.
It really is.
Shout out to that intimacy coordinator.
Killing it.
And I love how she kind of gives her that look of surprise sometimes. Anne does. Anne Lister to Anne Walker. She's always like, you can't think I can do this? I can do this.
I can do everything. Mm. She's asking her to get rid of some things for her. I mean, also, though, the scene of her walking over to the nightstand to get said items, the vision of her one shoulder and the loosened corset.
Killing me.
Help me.
Yep. So she gives Anne the engagement ring and the little Bible. I guess that's something you did when you wanted to marry somebody back then.
I guess because there's Bible. Like three different exchanges of Bibles in the show.
Little Bibles is very important. There was all the rage back in the day. If you didn't have a little Bible, you was poor. Poor people with big ass Bibles. Look at your big old Bible. Everybody knows you ain't got little Bible money.
Little Bibles were for the rich. We're just kidding.
I just enjoy saying little Bible. Little Bible. Little Bible.
Here they are. They're just, and she's just snuggling it up.
Don't you love
that? The way that she touches her, she makes constant physical contact with her.
And rubs her hand down her whole arm.
I am about that life.
Me too.
That's, I really am.
That's more important to me than sex. Don't get me wrong. Sex is very important. Don't get it twisted. You just spit all over the microphone.
We want everybody to know that.
I made Aaron spurf. I mean, Kristen. I don't know why I said Aaron.
Okay, she recommended the Madeira.
Yo, we're going to pause it right here because this Madeira is delicious. Blandy's Rainwater. Get you a bottle. All right, welcome back. We had to make sure the equipment wasn't malfunctioning since Kristen spit out Madeira all over it.
It's Jen's fault.
Don't get it twisted. Sex is important, but it is. But no, their intimacy is the most important part. Like, these little pillow talk times are my favorite thing in a relationship. Like, and they do it so good. Like, they're holding hands while they're talking. And she's basically reassuring her.
They're so engaged.
They are.
They're engaged.
They're connected.
Yes.
Which is so rare in the world. Like, connections like this.
And connection will save us all.
Yep. And they're like, girl, can we get married? And we're going to take the sacrament. As well as on little Bibles.
On the Bible.
Little Bibles.
Little Bibles.
Little Bibles. It got to be little Bibles.
We can each get a ring. She's like, don't get it twisted. I want a ring too.
Yeah, and then we can wear them always. I don't like that she thinks about it for a minute. Swearing vows on the Bible.
I think she was being a little coy.
Like a wedding.
But yeah, also, she probably had never heard this before.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, it never even occurred to her that, like, that was a thing.
She's like, in front of people? No, girl. No, 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 no. No, no, no.
No, 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 no.
No, no, not in front of people. Don't get it twisted. It would have to be a private matter because Anne Lister was all about a private matter.
She was. She knew what she had to do to
survive,
live her life
yep.
the way she wanted to.
But that little
Look
happy
at her
chuckle.
Little chuckle.
Yeah, she's like, okay, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, girl. Oh, you'll get fed up with me. Can I just say, though, like, who hasn't been that person?
Yeah.
Like, when you're going through a hard time, especially when you're in a relationship and you're just like, shit.
Why do you like me so much?
Yes.
You're so good, and I'm so like, yeah. I love to ruin things for myself like that. That's a common, that's an Aries move. If I ever saw, things are going good. You shouldn't like me. You can do better. Get out of here.
Let me walk away.
Yeah. So you don't hurt me first. So soft, beautiful kiss. Just so perfect. Golly.
So much eye contact. And
Saran Jones's husband is so lucky. Like, lucky duck, right?
That's a lucky man.
Yeah.
I think he 100% knows it.
Oh, if he doesn't. I'm sure somebody's sending him a letter right now. Plucky music. Plucky music while you get your bitch ass book back in your face with your little cracker ass outfit. I don't know what to call it, but I don't like it. Preacher bitch. I don't have anything against preachers. Just this guy.
Just this one.
Yeah. Your a untopical biography of yourself unopened.
Here comes Anne with a well-worded letter. I would just like to say that I really appreciate this this value in her, because I am that person.
You are. If I needed a well-worded letter, I would hit you up. Yeah. Oh,
would
sure.
I not be the person?
Yeah, because I just get mad. I'm just like, you're stupid, right? And you're dumb. But you're like one of the people that don't even curse and make somebody feel real small just using the big words.
Because that's how my mother raised me.
Holla back, Julia Sugar Baker.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, honey. Yeah.
I'm more like Anthony.
Well, you know what? That was perfect because Julia and Anthony loved each
they
other.
They did. They had a tight bond. They were good buds.
For
they
those
were
of you
friends.
Who have never seen Designing Women, That's what you should do during the Gentleman Jack hiatus, is watch every episode of Designing Women.
Absolutely. If you like strong, audacious women, which I do, I find those to be the best kind.
Oh.
The only kind I'm attracted to.
It's the only, the only kind.
Oh, you're not going to stand for no shit? Oh, how wonderful. Can I sit down? Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink, girl. What's that?
Let me find out how many things we can disagree on.
Oh, my God. Let's talk it out. So old nosy bonnets always.
But even they are like, maybe you are being a little creepy. Your wife just died. Like, maybe you should pump the brakes. But it's too late because.
Ba-ba-ba-bum. Here's Miss Lister.
Our girl is coming for his ass.
Oh. Look how scared old Bushy Bottoms looks. He's like, oh, she here at the house? Did you let her in, footman? Oh, my God.
Bushy Bottoms is no fool. No. He knows.
Oh, and then, of course, Nosy Bonnets is like, oh, no, bring her on in. Show her in here. I have a hard, stern look for her.
But it's okay, because Ann Lister has got something for all
dead ass
of them.
Yup. Oh, he looks nervous, too.
Yeah, he's trying to leave.
You have company.
Can you imagine if that woman came in and you had just got a letter saying that she's got surveillance over the situation now? I would be like, it's time for me to leave. Like, leave Halifax. It's time to go.
And, yeah, she just automatically start bringing up old shit. Oh, your wife died in a carriage accident? You must be real heartbroken about it. Why are you sending letters about books and shit?
She is judging every single idiosyncrasy, all of his body language and the way he responds to everything is why she asked those exact questions and why she said everything the way that she did.
Yeah. And
it's good. I was just going to say, and thank you to Sally Wainwright for being able to capture that in the writing.
So I want to go back just real quick, because you're right. In the thing she says, watch. I can't stop. I came to ask about, sorry, Mr. Ainsworth, this must seem very banal to a man who's just lost his wife. That is a subtle dig. Yeah, this must be beneath you, somebody's lost his wife, you know, like sending your book to strange women. You know what I mean? Like, it's a dig.
But I'm here to see about a little legless boy going to school. And by the way, did I mention I'll pay for his schooling?
There you go, because that's who I am.
I would like to know if she really did that. I would like to know if she, knowing what I know about how she felt about her tenants and her servants and, you know, people that she saw below her class, I would like to know if that is something that she actually really did.
I feel like Sally wouldn't have put that in if it hadn't been it. I feel like she would not have put that in the series. Well, I could be wrong. I'm sure somebody send us an email. We will read it.
I already know who I want on the case.
So he's unnerved by her, obviously.
I mean, I would be too. Probably not for the same reasons as him, but
yeah. I mean, well, are you intimidating, or are they intimidated? Mm-hmm. We live by that.
We live by that code around here.
We sure do. So, anyways. She's dramatic music, Bushy Bottoms nervous.
She is letting on. Like, she is such a good shit talker because she never talks any shit.
And
she just leads people to where they need to go.
Yeah. And she leaves before somebody rings the bell on her.
Yeah.
She's out the door before somebody. I see myself out.
I had not noticed that, but you are right.
It's a power move.
It is.
Power move. It's
just
excellent.
When I thought she
And this motherfucker. Don't you?
You are making a bad decision.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn.
You do not want this.
You must allow me to apologize. I'm sorry. Oh, he's stuttering already. I didn't know you said a stutter before, sir. I don't think you do. I think you're just nervous. In my defense, sorry.
Today, Junior.
Which he says in my defense, and she says sorry. Like, you don't really have any defense.
And she's completely.
The thing you should understand.
Unfazed by his presence. Mm-hmm. The look in her eye at this moment.
Yeah. And she's just letting him know.
I mean, Saran Jones, girl.
And she says, you've embarrassed yourself already. Ooh, you know how bad that must have stung to a man back in 1830s?
He's probably sitting there like, is this really happening right now?
Yeah. Oh, and this look. Saran Jones.
Why?
Masterful.
She is. She is a master of her craft.
And hush with you trying to explain. We don't need We don't need all this.
I was on opium. Mm-hmm. Oh. So.
A crudely worded letter, are we, Mr. Ainsworth? Mm. Has been very, get this.
Explicit. And we all know what explicit means.
And what went before that letter. We all know. I know what you did, motherfucker. Oh, Kane. Kane at the chest.
At the chest. She is giving it to this guy right now.
Otherwise, you will be exposed. See, that step in move. That she steps in and talks right in your face. And a fornicator. Ooh.
And you're a reverend. Yeah. And so now he's starting to get a little cheeky.
What must I appreciate?
He's had enough. He thinks he's going to step in and mansplain.
And still again, lead with the cane. You take advantage of vulnerable young women. You afflict it on yourself. No, yes, and those, yes.
The way that she has the cane positioned crossways across his chest, like, that is such an offensive, defensive move.
Yep. Don't even try it, and I will fuck you up. Preyed on her insecurities. Ugh. Just get him. Get him.
This is it. Fuck you, guy. I cannot believe you just said that.
If you weren't so insignificant.
I would horsewhip you till you are black and blue. You know what? I would venture to say that is the least of what he deserves.
Mm. I'm mortally sorry that you're not worth knocking down. She thought about it real hard.
She wanted to.
She did, but she's classier. She's better than that. We've been there.
That's true.
Yep. I'm going to give you the opportunity to get the fuck out of here before I ruin your damn life because I'm smarter than you. I'm stronger than you.
Even though I don't want to, at least you can have your reputation. Mm-hmm. So get on.
And once more, I urge you.
Look at her eyes.
Oh, my God.
Though, and the way that she's, again, when you are having a heated conversation with a woman and you see her lips go tight like that, you know
she said,
it's over.
Ever hearing anything about you in this world ever again. Bitch, I don't want to be in France and hear nothing about you. I don't want to be in, what's that place that the one girl went, you know, that time? Marion went?
Oh, Market Wheaton.
I don't want to hear about your ass in Market Wheaton. I don't want to hear about your ass nowhere I go, okay?
And then she said, and I trust we don't have any reason to hear about you in the next either, which was her way of saying, you gonna burn.
Damn.
That was some real fire and brimstone.
Damn. She's so hardcore. It makes me happy.
I mean,
it's who I want to be when I grow up. I'm halfway there. I got the pocket
again,
watch.
It's the never-ending struggle. Like, do I really want to be her or do I want to do her? It's unclear most of the time, but pretty equal.
I really want to be her. That's like...
I feel that.
I like everything that she stands for. Like, she's fair. She, like, treats people right. She's honorable. She stands up for the people that she loves. She takes care of the people that she loves. Like, those are admirable qualities in a human being. That's solid.
Those are all the best.
There's our boy.
Hey, Argus.
And jaunty music because she is walking, honey. Mm-hmm. Watch that water, boy.
There goes old doofus over there spilling something, eating something.
I think he's precious.
Has his jacket buttoned wrong.
He just got this job as a footman. Give him a break, Kristen.
He's the door boy.
Oh, what's that modest-ass woman pattern there?
That looks like plain-ass circa 1980s army green.
Modest ass woman. Oh, here we go.
1980s army green modest ass woman.
Oh, and here she goes. She's sending the letter so she can get her baby a ring.
She going to go get her baby a ring for 30 pounds. I would like for somebody to do the math for me to tell me what 30 pounds in 1832 would be. Today.
I feel like it's kind of a grip. Because, like, I mean, well, I'm dumb. So, pounds are kind of the equivalent to the dollar, right? They're almost, no.
No, right now the currency rate is one United States dollar is equal to about 0.77 pounds. The pound is worth more than the dollar.
Oh, snap. So that was a very expensive ring then.
Yeah.
It had to be. Well, I don't know what the pound was worth back then.
It's like, you know... Like, I just bought this shirt from a Julian Tito, and I had to convert the price in pounds to dollars, and it was like $8 more expensive than the pound's price.
Somebody help us out. Do the math. So Thomas's mama just found a belt buckle in the pig pen. So she kind of suspected, but now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she
What's
knows.
This belt buckle doing in here?
Yeah, my husband's belt buckle, no less.
You know what, though? Something that really about, like, why do you care so much? I would just be like, the asshole is gone. Why, no need to think about it anymore.
I don't know.
I don't even care.
I don't think she cared that much other than Thomas had done it, and she was worried about him getting in trouble for it. Like, I don't think she. You never really. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there, Trotty McHederson.
Trotty McHederson.
You trot ahead. That's what you be doing.
Pardon the door. We're sharing the Madeira with my better half.
Yeah. So we found out it's like a liquor and a wine together. It has a higher potency.
It's a spirit.
Mm. And it is wonderful.
I think.
Get you a bottle. All right. Oh, so there's a knock at the door. The cousins are hanging out.
Here comes Nosy Bonnet.
Thank you for knocking on the door this time, James. She sneaks in. She says her calls are almost as well as yourself, madam.
Mm-hmm.
She's just trying to be nosy.
I'm going to name Miss Park Hill's print on her dress right now. Gracie Lou Freebush.
I don't even know what that means, but it's hilarious.
It's from Miss Congeniality.
Oh, nice. Oh, and Nosy Bonnet's got a very particularly saucy bonnet on today.
I am really here for that green and that blue together.
She says, I thought I'd have come look at you. Like, you thought you'd come over here and be nosy.
And call her invalid again. Mm. Like, I cannot handle it.
Having some tea, like they do.
And here she goes. She's got to run her mouth.
This is gossipy tea.
This is the gossipy tea.
Yeah. This is talking shit tea. Kermit the Frog tea. So, basically, she's telling the aunt that she thinks she's in love, which she is.
And she's like, you have no idea in her head.
Oh.
But, of course, she wants to be more gossipy than that because she likes the sound of her own voice.
So I think this is her basically trying to tell her about Ann Lister, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because she has already, like, she knows that Miss Parkhill is also already entranced by Miss Lister. She already had complimented her.
Oh, yeah, and this is where she puts the idea in her head about the two men getting hanged in New York for being gay.
Exactly.
Man, what a long way we've come. We're so fortunate to live when we do. We really are.
We really, really are.
And there's still people in other countries that don't have it.
I know.
Yeah. That's why pride's bothering me, but we won't get into that. All right. She,
I think, and somebody prove or disprove me on this, but I think that Mrs. Priestley is far embellishing the fact that that hanging was seen by 6,000 people.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So if somebody can disprove or prove that that's an accurate or inaccurate number for how many people would see something like that, let me know.
And see, and now she didn't even think that Miss Lister was weird until old Nosy Bonnet put it in her head.
She was like, oh, but she studied biology under Monsieur Cuvier.
You no doubt find her charming, but she's a lesbian. Ba 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 bum.
Can't be trusting those lesbians.
Charming chuckle. I mean, trusted. What are we talking about here? You know what I'm saying?
Jaunty music.
Yeah. I mean, you can leave your jewels out in front of me. I mean, just, you know, maybe not your single sister. Who has questions?
So here we are in the Soudan's home. She is approaching him about the buckle, and not only is it a belt buckle, he can't even lie about where it could have come from because she says, it was my father's, and I gave it to him.
I gave it to him, so I know that it's his. And here they go again. Well, you know what? That dude put it in their head that you could feed somebody to the pigs. That's your own damn fault. Why would you tell the family that you whoop their ass every day? Hey, just so you know, if you ever had to get rid of a mean son of a bitch that was being mean to you, you could just take him out to all those pigs we got out in the back. Just so you know.
dumbass.
I know, man. He wanted it. He was asking for it.
That's an example of someone asking for
it. Yeah. No, it's not really, but you know what I'm saying.
Still, allegedly.
Allegedly. So, Tupper Day. You better come on Tupper Day. And, of course, he fancy earning a shilling or two.
Yeah, like, I would love to earn a shilling.
A shilling?
A shilling.
A shilling or two.
A shilling or two.
Yeah. All right. So, Thomas, going up to Miss Lister. Oh, and he's telling him about Miss Lister paying for the school.
Yeah, he's all excited. He's like, oh, he's going to be a little schoolboy. That's cute that he was, like, it's crazy that people would get excited that one of their children was going to have the opportunity to be educated.
Yeah, it makes you kind of really appreciate things. Well, probably not most people, but it should. Anyways, I think it's cool that, how expensive that must have been. Like, that must have been a grip back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Education was probably pricey.
It was something that only aristocratic families could have, unless there was somebody in like a larger village or town, I guess, that did like a school for poor kids.
Well, see,
but most of them had to work.
I feel like they're kind of at a class, and then the Mr. Thomas guy that works at her is like the class above them.
Mr. Washington?
Washington, yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, friend. Thanks, Google.
I got you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm deep in the Maduro. Anyways, but are they of different kind of classes, you know? Like, I feel like they're kind of farmers, and he seems to be whatever is above that.
It probably has everything to do with how much money you're worth.
And, yeah, what your family you were born into and all that jazz. Okay, fair enough.
So here comes this coward.
Yeah. Oh, I wondered if, I just don't think it's a good idea. It's my own idea to leave with my tail tucked between my legs. I thought about it the whole time.
It's just, you know, it's too soon.
Foolish
and
unwise.
It really is too soon. Mm. That's really saying something when you would rather belittle yourself than admit that you just got told where to go by a woman.
Absolutely.
And that's all you need to know about that individual.
I feel like he's being tacky even for back then. Like, your wife just died. You strictly came here to get this position.
And you're a reverend.
And now you're admitting that you can't be here because being close to somebody that you wanted to bang would bother you because you're a man of weak moral fiber, reverend.
Morally repugnant.
Ooh.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Ann Walker is just trying to live her life and get through this bullshit and let Mr. Ainsworth leave.
And old nosy bonnet's done been here and put stuff in the cousin's head, and now she's all upset.
She's acting like she's being so dramatic.
She's in a host of miseries, Kristen.
A host of
miseries.
I mean, she's acting like she's just physically ill over the idea that Ann.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying this to be mean, but it's 1832. They ain't got no TV. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to get dramatic about shit. That was your entertainment. That was, like, what you did for funsies.
I would have fit in so well.
Oh, I know. Girl, you would have crushed that scene. You would have crushed that scene.
I mean, I would have been.
Girl, touch your bonnet this way. I got something to tell you. Listen.
Can you even imagine?
No, yeah,
I mean, you're like, yeah, I can't imagine because I watch you when I'm in front of you. I know you. I have met you.
That's so funny.
I do have a flair for the dramatic.
You? Never. Never. Oh. My love, I must beg you not to send the ring you spoke of just yet. And once again, you're breaking my heart.
And, you know, at this point, like, Ann Lister has got to have whiplash because she's now said, yes, no, maybe later, no, yes.
Have you ever had that happen? I had a whole date set
not
up
marriage,
one time.
Not marriage-wise at all, but on a relationship level.
I had something whole big planned, so that was a lot of money, and then she just, like, canceled last minute. And that is, like, I mean, same thing. She went to the bank, got 30 pounds. She done sent the monies, bitch.
She already did it. Yeah. I know. I personally feel
they
for that.
They always be breaking my heart in this show, and I love them for it. That's what I want you to do. Make it like life.
I love her great coat.
Yeah. And she is walking with a purpose today, honey.
She is. She's not even taking a road. She's hopping over this wall.
Oh, she's mad. She's bitching about the letter the whole time. Oh.
But, you know, it's poignant that she crawled over that wall right now.
It is. That's what she's doing. and she done rang the bell because she ain't having it. What time is it? Let me look at my pocket watch, girl.
How many minutes did I make it here? 7.5.
Yeah, thanks for opening the door, James. I got something to say.
Everything's real awkward.
Awkward tea. That's what we're having this morning with some figs. And looks like scrambled eggs.
Perhaps some crumpets and some toast.
Not everything is crumpets, Kristen.
Hey, we saw their English muffins.
That's what our shirts would say. Not everything is crumpets.
When we make t-shirts, guys, we'll make one that says not everything is crumpets.
Not everything is crumpets, damn it. And Lister just trying to carry on. Old bitchy face cousin McGee's upset. Ann Walker don't know what to do. I'll be in the other room if you want my company. I don't really.
The color of her dress looks like the purple furry monster from the McDonald's gang.
Like, all of a sudden, just the cold shoulder. They've been having so much fun. They've been playing the backgammon.
And now all of a sudden, now that you think that she might like to kiss ladies, she's bad.
She definitely likes to kiss ladies.
I mean, you're right.
Kissing ladies is my favorite part of kissing ladies. It's the part where you get to kiss them.
Best part.
That's the best part. Oh, man.
She is super confused at this point.
I haven't seen. Then what's wrong, boo?
She's like, I told him to leave. Why are you saying that you think you're going to marry him? He should be gone.
In this moment, I don't think we should do this anymore.
The worst. Just
and that the way she says, you haven't sent off for the ring for it, have you? Like, indignant.
And she's just like, well.
What's been said?
The facial expressions. Yeah. So,
propaganda. Two men were hanged for being gay.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. Propaganda.
And jeered at them. I mean, I guess being jeered at was a big deal back in 1832. They keep bringing it up. They'll be jeered at. You ever been jeered? I'll jeer you right now. Kristen! I don't know what jeering does.
Jennifer!
I'm not a bad person, so I don't know how to jeer.
Same.
It's like I don't know how to catcall either.
Wouldn't know.
My best catcall is, damn! And no one knows what to do with that.
Or, hey girl, your mama let you date?
That's yours. I can't even get that far. I just would like to say that you're gorgeous. About your way. Keep going. No, don't stop. I'm too nervous to talk to you.
You like Mike and Ike? You got a boyfriend?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you better work that up, dude.
So she knows Miss Priestley's been here. That's what the problem is. And now she's brought the cousin, Miss Parkhill, into
She's getting frustrated because Anne always gives in to the fears that other instill in her.
Yep. And she's already told other people's basically what she's saying. So now we're the talk and making lewd comments about us.
And Anne's like, who cares what they're saying? If we don't give them any real proof, that's all they can do is say it. They can't do anything.
Yeah, no, nobody can prove it. Nobody can go in our bedrooms at night, and these damn servants better not say nothing.
Or they're going to get horse-whipped.
And no chickens.
No chickens, horse-whippings.
And this whole conversation, I have been there so many times. There's no legitimacy.
I have to.
People will say things. My parents, blah, blah. Man, okay. Being yourself is fucking hard. Buck up.
It is. It's hard. It's very, very, very hard. But
so few people are willing to do that.
I know. It's unfortunate.
And you know, the thing is, that's why people hate people that are willing to do that. That's why there's hate. That's why there's people that are homophobes. People hate
it's
people being themselves. Yeah. If they see you being you, they can't be them. And they hate you for being able to be you.
Because they hate themselves.
Yeah. Indeed.
So Anne's telling her that it's not a criminal offense for women, but she doesn't care because if it was, she would have to put her own neck in the noose. And I just want to pause it right there for a second to say, I know what that feels like. I know that Jen knows what that feels like. Both of us, we've mentioned before, were gold stars. We have both known who we are since we were very, very, very young. And when you are that aware from that early of an age, you literally have no choice. Like, if you don't live your truth, it will kill you. There is no possibility. There's no other possibility.
And yeah, and there's no hiding. I mean, I couldn't hide. There's no hiding. You got to be you. I like absolutely. That she. I like that she uses the argument. It's not even illegal for us. That's the argument I'm gonna use in heaven because it says in the Bible.
It's not even illegal for us.
It says in the Bible, "Thou shalt not lay down with man as one does with woman." And I'm gonna get to heaven and be like, Jesus, I have never done that. I have never laid down with a man
since we're taking everything
the way
literally.
I have with a woman.
Since
okay?
we're taking everything. Since we're taking everything word for word.
I've never done that. So we're gonna take a little pause right here. And we will be back in just one moment. All right. And we're back. And here it is, her most iconic quote.
Because I love and only love the fairer sex.
My heart revolts from any other than the love than theirs. Me too. I couldn't love a man.
Shout out to the content creator that made the incorrect memes for this where it said sexual orientation repulsed.
I like how she says, I was born this way. This is who I am. And that's how I have always felt. Like, I've always felt like this is exactly who God created me to be. Like, I have never been anybody else but myself. Like, even little kid, I was butch. I
feel the exact same.
This is who I am.
This has always been who I am. I mean, my mother has a video of me. I know that there was an instance where I cried over Julia Roberts and Pretty Woman.
And that's how you know. And so basically Anne's just begging her not to let them poison her against her. How?
Please
oh
don't
God.
Let that happen.
We can be happy. This scene tears me apart. And she knows it. She knows that they love each other and they have an intimacy and a connection. And she's never felt that with anyone else. And what if I were to marry him for appearance sake only? Fuck.
And we
that.
Could still see each other, and that set her off.
That she's, would never do for me.
She's done.
Nuh-uh.
I mean, she's not done, but.
But I've been asked that before. Are you fucking kidding me? I am not the other woman. Never ever was, never ever will be.
Yeah. About that.
I know. Well. We all make mistakes. Let's not get too hasty, but I'm going to say.
Let's not get too hasty.
No, it's true, but no.
I want you to be my wife. She wanted to say wife. Voice crack.
Heartbroken. I want you to be my wife.
She's on her hands and knees. Like, yeah. Honest to God, if somebody was down on their hands and knees.
And said that they wanted me to be their wife.
Pleading with me to see this. Like, I don't know what I would do.
I know that we can never have children, and that is a great sadness. I have so been there. Like, that, one of the last people that really broke my heart, that was the whole issue.
Look at her gently holding her neck. Hands, neck.
And I adore you. When I'm with you, nothing else matters.
The whole world makes sense.
Oh, my God, this scene.
But as soon as I'm alone, I would be like, girl, you don't have to be alone.
You don't have to be alone.
Like,
that's what
I am literally trying to tell you.
Girl, we going to go to Paris.
We going to go everywhere.
Yep. We can navigate this life and everything that it throws at us together. That's what marriage is, right?
Have you met me? I will not let anything or anyone hurt you. They'll have to come through. They'll have to hurt me. They'll have to put me down first.
Yep.
And that is what marriage is.
That is what marriage is.
No matter what. No matter what.
And she says, God will give us strength and courage. And I guess just Anne just didn't have the courage in this moment.
She doesn't.
No.
She's trying to go. She's trying to make it casual again and make it about manners. And let's just go and deal with it.
Yeah. And be friends and be polite. Yo, polite, kind, good people, shout out. That's what we should all be striving to be, is polite, kind, good people.
Everyone.
And take your Mr. Ainsworth sorry ass on wherever the hell it is you come from.
Leave.
I don't ever want to see you again. It's your old spineless pinky ring ass. Can't stand him. Can't stand him. Don't never trust a priest with a pinky ring. I'm telling y'all. It ain't even the Madeira talking. I'm telling you. Send a letter. If you
send
must.
One.
Send an email if you must. Look at these damn doilies. So fancy. Oh, nosy bonnets. You get on my damn nerves, nosy bonnets.
I know. I'm telling you, in everything, well, by everything, I mean this and Scott and Bailey. Okay, all right. I'm going to stop what I was just saying. to talk about this because Anne just walked into the library. I know we said that we weren't going to like move too fast, but this is so important. There are two women who look a little bit alike in this library. Everybody just take a look and keep that in your mind as we continue.
And she's asking about the book, The Life of Charlemagne. It's excellent, she says. All right, what can I do for you, Miss Lister? Look, I am in the market for a little Bible. Where is your little Bible section, okay? A book of common prayer, if you will.
Gilt-edged, bound, if you have it, in Moroccan red leather.
I wait for one of you chicks to get one of these.
With an attractively marbled fly leaf. Like, how can you go into a bookstore and get a Bible with those exact...
I think she said she'd
specs.
Seen it.
I know, but he said, oh, yeah, we've got it.
Well, yeah, she'd seen it. She'd know that. Look, she knew the little Bible that she wanted.
I guess. Now she's waiting and she's looking. She is looking at those girls as they walk away.
Yeah, she is. She checked out their asses.
Little grins, little eyebrows. I see you,
she's
Saran.
Naughty.
Anyway, so an aside, we saw those two girls just now exit the library. So I've been reading a lot and, I studied English when I was in college. So I'm a huge literature person. And so the Bronte sisters lived not too far from Halifax and Shibden Hall, during and around the same time. And we plan, when we're done companioning all the episodes, that we're going to do an episode on this 6 degrees of separation between Anne Lister and the Bronte sisters. And I've done a ton of research, and at this point, it probably looks like a conspiracy theory. I probably look like somebody that is disheveled.
Pep and Sylvia.
Sorry. Exactly. That's exactly what I look like over it. I just wanted to let you guys know so that you can think about that scene, watch that scene, do your own research, because that conversation is coming. The degrees of separation between Anne Lister and the Bronte sisters.
We're going to talk about it. All right. Moving on. We at the Rossins' house. What's the Rossins' doggy name, Google? You all know?
Oh, no. I do remember that he calls them something, but I've forgotten.
I like him. This is a a weird flex where he throws
money,
the pocket change.
And he does it every time. Every single time.
I think it's just to be like, I run the
bank. It is. Yeah. It's a power move. Disgusting
power move.
And I do enjoy the fact that his little dog really follows him around for like no reason.
And they dropped the F-bomb there. I think that's the first and only time I've ever seen the F-bomb.
I think this might be the only time or, like, one of two.
I've always wondered about that. Like, was fuck a word they used back then?
Inquiring minds.
Yeah, indeed.
Somebody write in.
And, dude, I love that about our audience, that we have this, like, pool of really knowledgeable, beautiful humans that are like, oh, I know that. I'll tell you. I can send you a picture of a crumpet or let you know what Madeira is.
It's just a network of beautiful, knowledgeable, awesome souls.
Yep. And so we don't care about the Rossins bitching because they bitching. But basically, he's gossiping that Lister's over there morning, noon, at night at Ann Walker's house. Because, I mean, she over there morning, noon, at night. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, Jeremiah Rossin, like, at this point, he just wants to give Ann Lister the money. But call it, like, be done with the business. Just give her what she wants. And be done with it.
Oh, and they just passed Anne Lister.
They walked right past her.
I didn't even notice that.
But of course, little man Rawson, Christopher Rawson, the dickhead, he wants to get all cocky and loud about it all.
And be a dick. So we're going to find out what the big dogs start when they bite each other. You son of a bitch. Sorry. Foreshadowing.
I pulled a U. You did. Good job.
So she done sent her. The little bitty Bible.
Oh, and it's in a beautiful brown paper package. Like my shirt came in today. My shirt from A Hooli and Tito. It came in a brown paper package. And my address and my name was written on it. Handwritten.
That's the little touches. So she's telling her, she wrote something really beautiful in there. God bless you, my dearest Anne. Ever affectionately and ever faithfully yours. I would melt. I would
die.
So
did she. Sighs.
When's the last time somebody wrote something to you? Like, put pen to paper and, I mean.
Well.
Oh, you gonna
Amanda and I, we write love notes to each other like every day. Like I put them in her lunch, and like if she goes out of town, she like leaves them under the covers in the bed.
Y'all are so precious. I'm so jealous. Your love is so beautiful. Is it? I'm even she grateful. Said it. She says beautiful. You should be. It's good though.
Exquisite.
It is exquisite. Thank you. Thank you. That's
thank you.
No, it's that's beautiful. That's amazing. So, you know, oh, Mr. What did he say? He left.
He's gone.
Nope. Who could I have told? Yeah, I mean, that's how women feel. I bet, especially in 1832.
Sophie Rundle has incredible bone structure.
I like when she says, when you told me, it gave me a responsibility. And it gave me a power over you, and I intend to use it wisely.
And that is such a significant statement in the day and age that we are living in.
I love when she says, I'll never let you down. That should be a wedding vow right there.
It should always be.
I'll never let you down. Now, we can't keep avoiding this bitch. Let's go down and play some backgammon, honey.
Come on.
We done looked at the fancy Bible. And I'll try to get this bitch to like me because...
I have to. And I can't go home because I'm not going to watch my sister in one of her modest-ass dresses try and kiss up to this trade man.
But I got to say, this is her sexiest modest-ass dress.
I have to agree. It's got a little V-neck on it. So she's showing just a little bit of chest.
A jaunty pattern of sorts for her. I mean, for Marion.
It's like polka dots. So I'm going to call it Figgy... Modest ass woman.
Figgy modest ass.
Oh, no, wait, what is it? Is it like several dots or is it a flower pattern?
I don't know if they get up on her enough for you to see. Yeah, I think it's flowers.
And, flowery modest ass
and
woman.
And Mr. Abbott is like the most basic bitch of dudes with his mansplaining to everybody, including the men.
And he's not even aware of the fact that he's being rude. He thinks that he is being the most perfect little gentleman right now.
He's the worst. Can we agree that Anne's not wrong?
She's not wrong. He's very pretentious. And I mean, I just love her father, Jeremy's expressions toward him and Aunt Anne's.
Aunt Anne don't like him. She ain't having it.
Both Aunt Anne's like, I have lived here probably longer than you've been alive, Playa.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about cold. And Daddy Lister is just like, he has rolled his eyes.
And see, I love how they're like, this is a subtle flex too. Oh, Australia, you've been places? He's like, oh, no, I ain't been those places. I just have stuff there. And it's like, oh, Anne would have gone. If she had owned something in Australia, she would have gone.
Oh, she would have been managing it.
Yeah. I couldn't go on a voyage like that. I'm a little bitch. I'm sorry.
I just think that it's so awesome, interesting.
Yeah, the dad.
That her father was in Boston during the tea party. I'm also a history nerd. I'm sure that's a huge shocker. But the American Revolution is one of my favorite pieces of history to study, not only from like an American citizen perspective, but probably more so from a Great Britain perspective, because I find it to be a tad more interesting, gotcha. I suppose, because I'm an Anglophile. So there we are.
So he starts trying to talk shit about Anne Lister right here. He's like, you hear so many stories about her down in Halifax. Of course, I always take him with a pinch of salt. What a rude thing to say.
And I'll talk to almost anyone. And Daddy Jeremy is like, you know what? You do need to meet her. She will put you in you will know who she is straight out the gate.
The aunt's just pissed. She's like, you are garbage. I do not like you. Get out of here. And this scene makes my tummy hurt.
Can I just say that when women specifically act snotty like that, like with those sneers on their faces and act with that level of contempt, I cannot stand it. It is probably one of my biggest pet peeves in all of the world. If you are being snotty, I am going to say something to you.
Fair enough. So they're trying to, basically Anne's trying to get him out for a walk. Let's play a game. Let's do anything to stop making you stop being a bitch to me.
Come and thrash me at backgammon. I'm sure you would love to thrash each other.
Indeed. So it's awkward. It's about as awkward as it gets. And now the cousin visibly bristles every time Anne's around, which is so sad. That's a sad feeling. They were so cool before. They were fine. They were good to go.
It just goes to show how closed-minded and shallow people had to be, because what other people thought was all that mattered. Mm. And because women were living under such a strict code and were brainwashed by the patriarchy, it was their natural state. Mm-hmm. God forbid you put a toe out of line.
And this bitchy statement, if you're itching for a walk, why don't you go for a walk?
And Anne's like, I don't think so. Why don't you go? Mm.
To be candid. And there barely seems a point in me being here if you're here so often. Ugh, that's ugly. Stop being ugly.
Exactly. She's being snotty. Yeah. There is nothing more unattractive and frankly just unsettling than a snotty woman.
Let's have another go at your past perfect. This is so sad. Oh, two's company. That's hateful.
It is. It's very hateful, but I mean, let's just take a moment too. Like, she had a lot of nerve talking like that to Anne Lister, but clearly she didn't know.
But Anne Lister's like, if you feel like that, maybe you should go home.
Mm-hmm. And then power move, standing over her.
Like she likes to do. She loves the power
move. As she likes to
do. And Anne Walker saying nothing and just.
Anne Walker is really thinking, I kind of feel the same.
But so she leaves because it's uncomfortable as fuck now. And here we go. Sad.
She's like, oh, I tried.
Why'd you say that?
She's my friend. She's my guest. I live by the code that I don't care who you are. I don't care how much I love you. I don't care how much money you've got. And I don't care who your mama is. If you are being nasty, I am going to let you know that you are being nasty.
Okay. So she's basically saying she's forcing her. With the purse and all that. It just makes me sad. She's turning everything around on Anne, but basically it's just because old nosy fucking bonnet went down.
It is,
and
because
shit.
She has her own internalized homophobia. Like, she's scared to death of who she is.
And Anne wants to sort it out, but no. There's no discussing it. Just feel it becomes impossible.
And just the one-sidedness of this row that they're having right now. The fact that Anne Lister wants to work it out. She wants to defuse the situation, and Anne Walker has completely gone off the rocker.
I have to marry the man, otherwise there'll be no peace. So she tells her to go, and that it's wrong.
And that it's repugnant. My goodness. When I say the word repugnant, I really mean it.
Yeah. She says it's queer. Well, yeah, it's queer, but.
And Anne Lister is heartbroken in that moment. And shout out again, Saran Jones acting. That is, she physically portrayed what a gunshot.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Bitch,
being said,
I know I'm
you
strong,
feel.
But I have feelings too. That hurt me.
And you saying that, you wounded me.
You agree. Like, all of a sudden, now you're talking about marrying some stupid asshole. Like, how bad that must have hurt. That must have hurt so. And I'll still lend you the money. Don't even insult me with that bullshit.
She is disgusted.
Yeah, sorry? Why are you bringing up money right now?
I was never going to bring it up again.
Yeah,
like, that.
Who do you think I am? I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't exploit you like that.
So, I mean, she is just disgusted. Oh, and now Anne Walker is like, oh, I went too far.
Yeah. I'd rather starve. Oh. God.
I wouldn't exploit you like everyone else would.
Like your family tries to do. So if you want me to leave, I'm going home. Bye.
Bye, Felicia.
You don't understand anything about me, and I thought you did, but you didn't.
It is, like, really uncomfortable to watch them argue, though, because they do it so well and with so much passion.
I was that intimacy coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, it is really a lot.
And we're breaking the fourth wall hard on the walk home. She's so pissed. She's like, I got rid of this fella. I shouldn't care.
She's trying to play hard.
Yep.
Oh, you know, it's of little consequence to me.
She's insipid and nervous and poorly. I can find another, like you do. I can find another woman.
Yeah, I can get another one. Like, how would I ever be able to deal with that when we went traveling?
Uh-huh. I'd only have trouble with her. Oh, man. And if she had any real feelings for me, she wouldn't do this. But surely. Oh,
and here we go, guys. Oh. Oh, my God. How fucking dare you?
Piece of crap.
Oh.
And she's shocked because she don't know what to do, like, just being attacked. She's lucky she survived. Like, this part just makes me so sick to my stomach.
It really does. He's trying to touch her.
I feel like he was trying to rape her.
He was trying to touch her, yes. He was trying to sexually assault her.
And then, oh, fuck you. She should have hit him with that stick.
I know. She was trying. This right hook, though, she got a good right hook in. I cannot believe. And that was the worst part to me. Like,
it makes me sick to my stomach when he spits
on it. It really does.
Her.
He's disgusting. This whole... And the thing is that it's all too realistic.
Oh, yeah?
I've
been beat up for being gay.
I haven't, but I've known people that have.
Like,
and
once in high school and once older. But when he spits on her, that's like the highest indignity.
It really is. Like, I would rather take a full-on beating than be spit on.
I'm surprised he stopped. I was, like, grateful, you know, because when I first saw it, and this defiant look, like, yeah, fuck you and you fucking piece of shit. Sorry for the language.
It's true, though, but that's the exact look on her face. Yeah. She is done. She's had enough.
She's like, fine, I'll leave her alone. And with that heartbreaking ending, that is the end of Let's Have Another Look at Your Past Perfect. What an episode, you guys. I'm glad we had that Madeira. That was upsetting.
I know. Without the drink, we probably would have.
Without a bit of the creature.
Without a spot of nosh, we probably wouldn't have been able to make it through that scene. I actually watched the episode this morning so that I could kind of take it in doses. So now it's time for us to announce who our Gentleman Jack of the Week is. We got several, and by several I mean a lot of nominations for this week's Gentleman Jack. But we were just sort of moved and taken by this one, and we're really excited to announce it. So this week's Gentleman Jack is Kathy Capwell. And she wrote to us saying, I am writing to nominate myself for Gentleman Jack. Let me explain. I am very newly out of the closet at 50 years old. I boldly came out on June 22nd. The support and love I have received has been overwhelming. I do not take it lightly, as I know this is not welcoming that many. This is not the welcoming that many receive. I wish everyone did. Initially, I was timid around people as I felt I had a huge gay sign around my neck. As a result of watching Gentleman Jack and seeing such a non-apologetic, kick-ass lesbian, I walk with more confidence than I have ever had. I carry myself with pride, and I'm not afraid of who knows it. I know I'm at the beginning of my journey, but I'm so excited about the path I'm on.
Yo. So Kristen sent me, told me that we had an email, and I went and read it, and I was like, we have to pick this for our Gentleman Jack this week.
Like, hands down.
It embodies everything that this show is about. Like, people want women to apologize for the space that they take up in the world. They want them to apologize for being confident. They want them to apologize for having self-esteem and good feelings about themselves. And enough is enough. And I think Gentleman Jack is a perfect example of that. That's why the show is so empowering to all of us.
And it is. And it's incredible that 200 years later, Ann Lister is inspiring women to be who they are unapologetic or non-apologetically.
Why should we?
We shouldn't. It's
I saw that meme about the women's soccer team where the guy was talking about how it's not that we hate Megan Rapinoe because she's Rapinoe. Thank you.
I got you.
Thank you, Google. Because she's a lesbian. We hate her because she's an arrogant wanker. And a man responded and he was like, she's not arrogant. She's confident. And that terrifies men. Because men don't want women to be secure in what they can do.
It basically terrifies men. And you know what? It terrifies other women, too. Women that haven't found that in themselves, it scares them, too.
Oh, yeah. Like that lady with her audacious women.
Yeah, the lady that wrote the article.
Difficult women.
Yeah, she described Ann Lister as audacious and difficult.
She's one of the people that's going to turn us in when The Handmaid's Tale comes.
Oh, yeah. She's totally going to be an Aunt Lydia.
She's the patriarch. But so shout out to our gentleman, Jack, for being confident enough to say, you know what? This is who I am. I'm proud of it. And I'm proud enough not to nominate myself. We applaud you for it. We're impressed. We're amazed. So thank you, Kathy Capwell. Way to nominate yourself. And you're our gentleman, Jack of the week. So what's next? What's our little... We got a shout out. We got new countries.
Yeah, we've got some new countries added to our listeners.
Thank you.
So in addition to the 23 that we called out to last week, we would also like to add this week, Taiwan, Sweden, India, Italy, and Ireland.
Thank you so much, one listener in every one of those places. We do this show for you. Like, seriously, y'all, it brightens our day to read your emails, to hear about your life. Like, especially like the Madeira thing. The
Madeira? Yeah.
Her writing that in, like, how sexy is it? How cool is it when a woman knows her shit?
And lets you know.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why we chose Kathy as our gentleman Jack this week, because we had Aaron write in about the Madeira. We got the nomination from Kathy for herself. And we were like, you know what? After everything that happens in this episode, especially, now is the best time for us to make an emphasis on women being completely and authentically confident in themselves.
Absolutely. Ladies, don't apologize for the space that you take up in the world. Be confident in who you are and what you do. Please keep sending us these emails because it's our favorite thing in the whole world.
It really is.
We love reading them.
We are up at night texting each other, sending each other screenshots of the emails when one of us can't look at the email.
I don't care. If it's a woman, that even if she knows, like, if she's talking about kazoos, like, if she's really passionate about it, I'm head on hand, like,
go on.
And I'm
like, girl, you better tell me about those kazoos,
though. How do they find that little tiny piece of paper? That's fascinating.
Do tell.
So thank you guys for listening. We love you guys so much. Thanks for the admins on the Gentleman Jack HBO and BBC One fan page. And
we'll be back next week for episode 6. Do ladies do that?
Do they?
I guess we'll see.
Bye.